When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Daily Tech News Show is powered by you. To find out more, head to dailytechnewsshow.com/support.
This is the Daily Tech News for Friday, May the 4th be with you, 2018 in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And also in Los Angeles at Studio Feline, I'm Sarah Lane.
And from my art cave in Lebronto, I'm Len Peralta.
Ooh, Lebronto.
Sounds good.
I've heard tell of it. Also joining us today from San Francisco, senior editor at Engadget, Nicole Lee is back. Hi, Nicole.
Hello, I am from the amazing conference room that I am here.
Oh, I've heard tell of it. Our producer, Roger Chang, is here as well. Roger, how are you?
I'm good. Good.
That's excellent. Well, let's start with a few tech things you should know then.
Vine co-founder Dom Hoffman announced his follow-up app called V2 will be postponed for a, quote, indefinite amount of time because of logistics and funding issues. Hoffman already runs an early-stage startup called Interspace VR and says he doesn't want to split his focus.
Germany's Heise.de reported that Intel CPUs are affected by 8 vulnerabilities, the site called Spectre Class. Intel said it is finalizing mitigations for all 8, one of which was discovered by Google's Project Zero. They're going to reveal details about that one on May 7th. The site also says that AMD processors may be vulnerable. They're looking into that as well.
Magazine subscription service Texture, which Apple purchased back in March, will shut down its Windows app at the end of June. Interesting, because Texture's Android, Amazon Fire, and iOS apps still supported. But it appears that development of the Windows Store version in particular had lagged for some time, according to lack of updates and a lot of negative user reviews.
In the fine tradition of causing market confusion and bankrupting otherwise useful terms of their meaning, AT&T has begun marketing 5G Evolution to customers in Austin who have the Samsung Galaxy S8 and S8 Plus. 5G Evolution is neither 5G nor an evolution. It uses 4x4 MIMO and 256 QAM to get more speed out of LTE, a 4G technology. It's also something T-Mobile has offered since 2016.
I mean, it's sort of an evolution, right?
It's an evolution for AT&T, I suppose, yeah. If you want to be charitable, which I obviously didn't, but maybe you should. Let's talk a little bit more, Sarah, about Instagram.
Let's do it. TechCrunch reader Janady O'Crane, hope I got your name right, noted that Instagram added the ability for some users to add a credit or debit card. What does that mean? Well, Instagram conferred to TechCrunch it's testing native payments for booking appointments such as restaurants or salons. Riley is one of the first partners.
Rezi is
one of the first partners, rather. You know, it's funny. When I first read the story, I was like, what, you know, like, I don't want to send Tom a payment via DM on Instagram. Like, I have so many other options to do that. However, when ads are forced in my face, as they are on Instagram regularly, and I've stopped trying to hide them, I just deal with it now, I get why this would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's not person-to-person payments. It's, I'm making a reservation. Let me prepay for it.
Yeah, it's a business account. For a reservation? It's something that a business account could add functionality to.
Exactly. I guess it is weird though. Like, does Rezi do that a lot? I don't use Rezi that often, but the few times I have, I haven't had to pay. I just pay for the meal at the end. So, Nicole, what do you think of this? No, nothing. Oh, I think maybe we lost Nicole.
Oh, we may have lost Nicole.
Oh, I'm back.
There you go.
Okay. Hey. Yeah. So in terms of the Instagram payment, I will say that it really works with the ads. Like if you get an ad for, you know, a bag or a pair of shoes, you can just tap on over and off you go.
Yeah. Buying what you want. Although it does see that this seemed like this new one is
buying a credit card. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. This is for services, but I can't imagine eventually the rollout for actually buying the thing that you're seeing.
Yeah. NVIDIA announced it's canceling its GeForce partner program after all the backlash. If you remember, AMD had blog postings about how it was creating new brands to get around it, that its partners had complained about restrictions. NVIDIA claimed it only wanted partners to define one brand as exclusively powered by GeForce. NVIDIA says it didn't object to similar AMD-only brands or separate mixed-brand offerings. In a blog post, though, NVIDIA wrote, "Rather than battling misinformation, we have decided to cancel the program." Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is a lot of you can decide what side of the fence you're on, but a lot of people are still accusing NVIDIA of trying to steal all the good brands and make sure that their partners used NVIDIA in there, forcing AMD to come up with new brands that might be seen as a little bit less valuable. I don't know if you've been following this, Nicole, but I don't know that there was going to be a consensus agreement in the industry about this, so probably smart for NVIDIA to just back out.
Yeah, might as well just do it now instead of hanging around.
Take your branding deal and go home. I see where AMD was coming from. It's like, look, if NVIDIA comes in and pressures partners to take their existing brands and make those NVIDIA only, sure, NVIDIA is not saying it's exclusive, but it does force us to be on a different name, which is going to cause some market confusion. I think in the end, it would have ended up balancing out and people would have realized, oh, Radeon's in that brand now. And maybe it even would have been better, like NVIDIA says. But honestly,
I don't think it's a battle NVIDIA would have won. And they might as well just cut their losses and not generate more negative.
Well, I think that's the calculus they came to, yeah. Right? Is they decided, you know what? This is just making more problems than it's worth. So let's get rid of it. And that's what they
The Strategy Analytics smartphone model tracker is about to make a few of you mad, so sorry in advance. Services has new research that says that global smartphone shipments reached 345 million units in Q1 of 2018, with Apple's iPhone X in the top spot as world's best-selling smartphone model. SMT says the iPhone X's popularity is due to a blend of good design, sophisticated camera, extensive apps, and widespread retail presence, for the device in the marketplace, which accounted for 16 million units shipped in the first quarter. Xiaomi's Redmi 5A and Samsung's Galaxy S9 Plus were the world's top-selling Android smartphone models.
And don't forget, the Galaxy S9s only came out at the end of the quarter. So you don't even have a full quarter of sales for Samsung here. This is actually a really, really good showing for Samsung, given that it was only a partial quarter. So expect the Galaxy S9 not only to pass the Redmi, but pass a bunch of these iPhone models as well. It'll be interesting to see in a full quarter-to-quarter comparison with the iPhone X later in its product cycle whether Galaxy S9 actually passes it there. But it does give the lie to all that hype, Nicole, that we were hearing, like, no one's buying the iPhone X. Apple's doomed.
Yeah, I mean, that's always, like, every year I feel like this is same old amount. Apple's doomed because its iPhone X's not doing as well. I mean, that's good. I mean, I still think Samsung will probably win out in the end. We'll have to wait and see. You know, as you say, Galaxy S9 just came out, so I kind of think Samsung will still top it, but we'll see.
I think the other thing that's interesting about this is we're talking about Samsung, Apple, and Xiaomi all in the same breath. Like,
yeah.
Those are the top three brands of phone in the world right now. And for a while, Xiaomi was the darling bargain price version. Then it was in trouble. And now it's back with a vengeance.
Yeah. So Xiaomi is an up-and-coming brand. I mean, they're the number one brand in China, I think.
Yeah, they just retook the top spot. You're right. Yeah. I think that's right. I think they passed Huawei. So, yeah, I look at this. I think these numbers are very interesting in a lot of ways. And it's not so much just, you know, is it Apple or Samsung at the top? But just the fact that we have consolidated the smartphone market to the point that it is pretty much three brands and two operating systems right now. Well, let's talk a little bit about Defense One's report that the head of the U.S. FBI's Operational Technology Law Unit, speaking at a conference in Denver, described several incidents in which criminals used unmanned aerial vehicles. You'll heard them called quadcopters or drones, but I like to say UAVs because drone can mean other things too. And we're talking about quadcopter type stuff, UAVs. Anyway, criminals have been using them to combat law enforcement. So the anecdotes told in the speech involved several, including the most dramatic, that claimed a gang executed a series of high speed, low passes at the agents in the observation post to flush them out. The group of UAVs was also used to stream video of the agents. That's the one you're seeing in the headlines, like a swarm of drones was used to attack FBI agents. It does sound like it was a pretty dramatic incident. Don't know how representative it is. The group of UAVs was also used, or I'm sorry, other incidents involved using UAVs to see who came and went from police departments. So simple surveillance, observe gaps in security patrols for robberies. And even one example where they were used to monitor the Australian Port Authority workers so that smugglers could cause a distraction if they noticed the workers getting too close to containers that contained contraband. So if somebody would look like they were about to inspect the wrong crate or the wrong container unit, I don't know, they'd faint and be like, oh, come over. I'm sure it was more sophisticated than that. But yeah, this is getting a lot of attention because of that headline of swarms of drones. How much of a problem do you think this really is?
Who's going to, I mean, I'm assuming they're cloaked somehow. I'm assuming you can't see them.
I think you can see them.
Can you see them?
Yeah. I think they're just, you know, they dart in and dart out.
Wow.
Or they're enough that you don't notice them. I don't know.
Oh, maybe that's it. I mean, that's the only way I can see this being as effective as they're describing.
Yeah, because you're right. Anybody who's been around a quadcopter knows they're not terribly silent yet.
Right. You can see them. Like, you can see them. They're very clear in the sky.
And they make a high-pitched buzzing sound that's quite noticeable.
I mean, it's very interesting because one could foresee a future where these are kind of your lookouts, right? You just kind of send one up whenever. I see less of the swarming and trying to flush out federal law enforcement and more of like keeping tabs on, you know, where the police are in the neighborhood so I can be on the opposite side of the town or of the block. Because, I mean, it's that's a behavior that's like, you know, centuries old, but now you have a wireless flying technology that allows you to be more efficient at it, which might be.
And the point of the speech was to make the argument that laws need to change to allow law enforcement to combat this kind of behavior, which sometimes makes me skeptical of like, oh, how common is this really? Are you just using it to make your case? And the case may be valid. I'm not arguing against it.
It's definitely something that I think law enforcement would like to see new legislation on. And it's something that I think people should be very, like what you essentially said, is just be very skeptical, but also very hesitant to say, all right, now we're going to ban everything because the police have told us they can't do their jobs because these are things are flying around. And, you know, of course, in any open society, you got to weigh the difference, the value proposition of, you know, law enforcement with public openness.
IEEE Spectrum reports on an FCC filing from a company called Point View for a satellite called Athena that could deliver internet service 10 times as fast as SpaceX's Starlink. SpaceX began launching satellites in February, while Point View plans to begin launches in early 2019. IEEE Spectrum notes that Point View's FCC application was written by the same law firm that Facebook used to file its FCC applications and has the same corporate agent in Delaware as several Facebook subsidiaries.
Mm-hmm. They also talk about how the proposal notes that there would be a backup server located at a sort of indistinct office park in Northridge, north of LA, which happens to be where Facebook is rumored to be creating its space-based technology recruitment arm.
Indeed,
so
it is.
All indications point to PointView being Facebook's satellite internet arm.
Nicole. You know, if all the things that Facebook is, you know, it gotten in hot water for lately, the idea of it providing, you know, low orbiting satellites around the world for people to have internet is not one of the things that gets me up in arms. You know, I'm like, okay, do it. Great.
I don't know if I want Facebook as my ISP, though.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model in the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
Well, no, but we also have lots of choices compared to people who have zero. We have a lot more choice than a lot of people do, Tom. That's true.
We will if there's SpaceX and this and my local cable monopoly. That's true. But yeah, choice has always been one of the things I've argued needs to be increased in the United States. So I guess that's a way of pushing me in to say, okay, fine, you know, make Facebook an ISP, because if they're a space ISP, that's more choice. So, hey, folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, be sure to subscribe to Daily Tech Headlines, available on the Amazon Echo, Google Home, and the Anchor app, and at DailyTechHeadlines.com. So Disney launched an update to its Star Wars Jedi Challenges game. They launched it back in November. It was showed off at CES. It works on Lenovo's smartphone-powered Mirage headset with a matching lightsaber controller. And this update, Nicole, allows local multiplayer mode called Lightsaber Versus that lets you duel your friends in the same room. Now, you tried this out. And I guess both players would have to have their own Mirage headset and controller, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not like a one size fits all. Like, you both need to have your own separate headsets and controllers.
But before, you could only battle online or in-game stuff. Now you can actually play with your friend. How was it?
It was pretty interesting. So the idea behind AR and the Jedi Challenges thing in general is that when you're wearing and you're seeing virtual objects in front of you, you're still in like the real world. So like these virtual things are sort of overlaid on top of your living room or your office or whatever. So with the battle, you actually see the person like right there, you know, your friend or whoever sitting right there in front of you, waving their lightsaber hilt around. And it's kind of like a fun arcade game, I would sort of describe it as. Like you're in an arcade together, you're just sort of playing swords with your friends, I don't know, but with a video game setting. So there are actual like rules and points and they're sort of battling for, and you're blocking shots and you're sort of dodging left and right to sort of block, you know, their shots. So it's a lot of fun. It's I don't know if it's like the thing you would play like all day long or anything, but it's a good party game. It's a good party fighting atmosphere kind of thing.
Do you feel like the game at least mirrors how a lightsaber fight would play out in an actual Star Wars movie in any sense? Or is it just kind of something else? I mean, are you getting points for doing stuff that seems...
Right. My big question is how do you know when you got blocked? Because there's nothing actually stopping you.
Right. So there are visual cues. So for example, if there is a sign that says block, then you block. If there's a sign that says dodge, then you dodge. It's kind of like following, it's kind of like DDR, Revolution, but like lightsaber version of it.
LSR.
you're sort of matching patterns as you're fighting around, and the person that matches the patterns better will win eventually. So, and then your hit points go down as the other person that goes better and that kind of thing.
So
I mean, it was fun.
After a week of Facebook announcements and getting to play this, how are you feeling about augmented reality? I know you wrote an article that says Facebook seems like they're winning the augmented reality war right now.
Yeah, I mean, they're very different kind of things. One is the AR headset model. One's like a physical pair of glasses that Magic Leap's working on and all those companies are working on. And then there's like the phone stuff, which is, as we've seen with Pokemon Go and Snapchat selfie filters. And that's like the entry level, right? That's like the gateway drug of augmented reality.
And some people point out it may not actually be augmented reality, but it gets people used to the idea.
Right. So the idea of like seeing digital things on top of the real world is, oh, that's kind of cool that you can see, you know, virtual cartoons on your desk and that kind of thing. And as I sort of mentioned in my piece, like it seems super trivial right now, like, you know, face mask and selfie filters, like what can, like whoop-de-doo, right? But I think the idea here is that that's just the beginning. I guess that's sort of like get people used to the idea of AR, and that eventually they'll sort of like, okay, if you're interested in this, maybe like think of having a 3D object in your photos, and that's kind of cool. Or maybe, measuring things is the popular.
That's one of the Big Apple demonstrations.
The Big Apple ones you can put in your room. So I think the reason why I think Facebook has a good head start, because you already have a Facebook app, you already have an Instagram app, you already have Messenger probably. I mean, if you're a Messenger user anyway, so like you already have it in your hand, you already installed them. So it's like a matter of introducing small little like AR bits into your everyday use, and that way you associate Facebook with AR. So that kind of like the association. That's why I think they have a really good head start. But of course, it's not just that, right? There's more than that. But the interesting thing, I was asking a guy, and he's like, don't you think AR is pretty trivial? It's just like face masks and selfie filters. And he said, well, if you remember the iPhone, when that first started, it was just fart apps and like pouring beer from your phone.
True.
So I was like, okay. Well, I guess.
Not really true.
I mean, I don't know.
The App Store was plagued with fart apps at one point. I do remember that.
At one point.
Yeah.
Okay, I understand that. But that still doesn't really answer the question of like, no, at this point, it's mostly just those trivial use cases. We'll see where it goes from here, I guess.
Yeah. One of the things that did catch my eye, and we talked about it when we talked about the F8 announcements earlier this week, was Facebook's AR Studio, unlike Google or Apple's efforts, is designed to be very user-friendly so that you don't have to already be a developer to put together some of these things.
Yeah, so that's the other advantage that Facebook has, is that AR Studio, from what I understand, is like very like if you're an artist or if you're a designer, like a graphic designer, you could easily just jump in, you know, start playing around, and you'll be able to create a fairly decent sort of AR creation within like a few minutes or something like that. So that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, which I mean, and that's how the App Store took off, is they made it easier. It's not as easy as this, to be honest, but they made it easier for people to develop apps for the App Store, which is why you had so many fart apps, because they were easy to make. And so I get the parallel, which is Facebook could say, we've now made it easy. Now let's see what people come up with. But just because you haven't had anybody come up with something yet doesn't mean that they will. I actually believe in augmented reality. I think we will find some really cool uses for it, but it remains to be seen.
You know, all kidding aside about, you know, Jedi fights and whatever, it's like, I actually think the exercise version of the, it's very compelling to me. I'm not so crazy about the idea of AR, VR for a lot of gaming reasons that excite other people, and that's fine. But something where I'm like, was it good exercise? Like, you know, is this like my new hip hop class? Like, I will do this. Like, I actually think that there's a lot of real world use, particularly in your own home where you don't need a lot of space, that I would take advantage of, and I think it'd be really fun.
Yeah, I don't cycle anymore. I force cycle.
It was definitely a workout, you know, like not just doing this, but like you're ducking, you're dodging, you're moving left and right into space to avoid being sliced at. And that could be an exercise routine made out of it, maybe a slice left once. You know, maybe a whole like pattern.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Well, you compared it to DDR, and a lot of people felt that way about DDR back in the day. So
hey, Dance Central. On the Wii, that was a party. I mean,
you literally could sweat to the 80s.
You could sweat to the 80s with your friends dancing very badly. I don't really know why we're not still doing that, but it was fun for a time. So, yeah.
All right. Well, let's see what the experts in our audience have to say in the mailbag, Sarah.
Let's do that. First one comes from Vince. He says, in regards to why AT&T might be blocking that 1.1.1.1, it most likely is a network configuration. When I worked at another large telecom, we would configure the management subnets of a lot of things with that 1.1.1.1 as a common gateway address. The reason we used this range was that it was just junk, and we couldn't overlap IP ranges at customer sites without causing them routing problems. So since customers use the entire spectrum of addresses under RFC 1918 addresses, we didn't have a lot of choices without burning valuable public addresses. So this is less of an issue now with better virtual networking technology, but AT&T is big enough with enough legacy gear. It's a very real possibility.
I'm curious why Cloudflare's supposed ability to handle all the junk routing is disrupted by that. But thank you for the insight, Vince. That definitely helps us to understand that a little more. Also, from a person who is not officially speaking for Amazon, says, not likely that 3D body scanning would be involved in any consumer apparel shopping product, but machine learning estimates of body shape based on a few flat photos and time trends are getting surprisingly good. This kind of research needs a corpus of real-world ground truth data and regular scans are the obvious way to obtain that. So not only do we have a listener who's awesome at making puns and seems to maybe have some inside information about this, but it kind of bears out what we were thinking, is they're doing the body scanning to build a database, but that wouldn't be how you would take advantage of this as a customer.
Nicole, are you an online shopping maven in any sense? We were talking about this yesterday and the fact that it's so hard for a lot of us to do that because we just don't know how things are going to fit.
I usually try things out first, and then if I have my size, then I'll buy them online.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that this is the problem that Amazon wants to solve.
Yeah, they want to be able to say like, oh, we bet this is going to fit you.
We don't want you to go to Macy's and maybe buy it there if it happens to fit well. You know,
we could take a couple of pictures of you and make it fit. If they can fulfill that promise, that's pretty big.
I would buy it because I'm, you know, being a short person, I would buy it. Without having to like hem my pants every single time.
Feel your pain, sister. Feel your pain.
All right, let's check in with Len Peralta, who has been illustrating during this entire show. Len, what do you got for us?
Well, you know, the jury's still out for me as far as a good lightsaber game. I've tried stuff like this before, and I feel like it's always gone short, so we'll see what happens. But this is a great image because today, of course, is May the 4th be with you, and that is the name of this piece. It's someone, and I have to say, I should have drawn Nicole doing the review, and I apologize. it's one of those things you're drawing and suddenly you realize that probably something else should have happened. But anyway, he's saying, it feels as if I cried out at once and then suddenly silence. That's how I'm going to start my VR lightsaber review. What do you think, Nelson? Nelson? And of course, Nelson is in the bottom, who has just been beheaded by a very dark Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Darth Vader also looks very svelte.
Yeah, you know what?
He's been working out.
Yeah, he's been doing force cycles.
I tried to show that off because he has been working hard on it. And, you know.
The keto diet.
Hey. Yeah. This is the danger of wearing a headset is you might not see an actual Sith come into the room and decapitate your friend. So
that's right.
That's why AR is better because you see him coming.
Exactly.
That's right.
Well, folks, go check it out. LenPeraltaStore.com.
Yes,
excellent.
Please. Yeah, and also just commission me too. Do that as well.
Go commission Len right now. Don't wait.
Don't wait.
Speaking of things that make things better, Nicole Lee always makes our Friday better. Or any day she decides to join us, Nicole. We know you've been busy at Engadget. Let folks know where in particular you'd like them to keep up with your work.
So we have a really very, very busy week ahead of us. There's Microsoft Build next week. There's Google I/O next week. There's a lot of reviews coming up from me as well as other people. So stay tuned. I'll be tweeting about it as well, twitter.com/Nicole. So yeah, lots of stuff. Very busy.
Yeah. What is it with Microsoft and Google scheduling those in the same week? We need to talk to them about that.
They're just really being difficult.
Yeah, they really are. Yes. Thanks to everybody who supports this show and makes it possible. That's how we're able to do the show, is that you get some value out of it and you give some value back. The main way to do that is patreon.com/DTNS. We have some perks for you. At $1 a month, you get a whole expanded show that includes everything you get here on Daily Tech News Show, plus pre and post show of us just talking about some expanded technology topics and other stuff. So if you enjoy hearing us talk about things, you might want to check that out and get the feed at patreon.com/DTNS.
Excellent. Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. If you want to give us feedback, questions, comments, all that good stuff, please have at it. We love your feedback. We're also live Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 20:30 UTC. And for more, find out at dailytechnewsshow.com/live.
We'll be back on Monday with Lamar Wilson. Talk to you then.
Woohoo!
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.